Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, how many times have you said, I wished I could have a do-over? I know I have. And my first guest says we can all get a second chance at the life we want. He's the enforcer behind the Dr. Oz show, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. Ending today's show, Ellen Roth describes her new book as a true labor of love. She took her childhood love of daydreaming and fairy tales to spin a fairy tale for grown-ups. And who doesn't need a little escapism today? And it's beautifully illustrated. We'll talk about that and more when she joins us at around 12:40 today. But first of all, I want to introduce my first guest. And this is a pre-recorded segment. We sat down a couple of weeks ago and chatted so we could bring this to you today for the first time. My guest is Dr. Michael Roizen. He's an MD. He's the chief of wellness officer at Cleveland Clinic. And he's also the co-author of the New York Times bestselling You, Owner's Manual. That's a series of books. I think he's actually been a New York Times bestseller author four times. And number one spot. He's the co-founder and originator of the popular realage.com website. He's also the chief medical consultant to the Dr. Oz show. And he's obviously got a very familiar face to many of you. He's one of my favorite doctors for a number of reasons. I think he's very practical. He tells it like it is, but he's kind when he's doing it. He's really down to earth. And boy, if you go to Cleveland Clinic and look under expert, under the expert pages and look him up, he has such an impressive resume. He absolutely has devoted his life to what he calls health and wellness, although in his book he says he doesn't like that phrase, health and wellness, but he's passionate about learning, keeping up with the new sciences, with sharing that information. And today we're going to talk about his new book. It's called This Is Your Do-Over, The Seven Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. And we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we will play that to you.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
This station is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. We are now going to bring you the conversation I had with Dr. Michael Roizen a couple of weeks ago. We're playing this for the first time today. And we're talking about his new book, This Is Your Do-Over, The 7 Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. Well, Dr. Roizen, I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us today. I read that you knew at 9 years old you wanted to be a doctor. What brought that about?
You're right, Vicki, and it's a privilege to be on with you. What happened is I was sicker than a dog, so to speak, and a physician came to my house. I assume it was, in retrospect, strep throat or something like that, gave me a shot, which I assume was penicillin, and in half a day, I felt well, and I said, isn't this wonderful? You can actually help people feel better and get paid for it. And I said, that's what I want to do. And so, you know, nine-year-olds change their occupational hopes probably a million times, but literally that was the day that changed what I wanted to do in life. And that's actually why I do this. It is because I get to help people feel younger, feel better, and stay younger. And so that's what I love doing.
Well, you're certainly a familiar face, familiar voice, and I think this book is going to do really well again for you. It's called This Is Your Do-Over, The 7 Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. So tell us why you wrote this book. What's different about this book than what you've written before?
Well, what this is actually we took those people who actually had transformed themselves and gotten a do-over and stayed changed, and we said, what are the secrets that they had? What did they do that was consistent amongst all the people? And there really were 7 things. One of the keys, which you will understand, is getting a buddy. That is, almost all of them, no, not almost, all of them who succeeded and changed and kept changed, with the exception of 3 or 4, that is out of the, we've had over 50 million people, a little over 60 million now actually, have taken the real age test, and 30 million have taken it repeatedly. And the ones that transformed always had a buddy, that is someone who helped them stay focused, who they were accountable to, who helped them when they had problems, learn why they were having problems, who encouraged them, who were fun to talk with, who they enjoyed working with to get a do-over, many of which who they did mutual do-overs, but there always was a buddy. So what we did is we included the 7 things, one of which is find a buddy or recruit a buddy, and how to do it, and the characteristics you want, some of which we've just talked about, are what is in the book.
Right, right. And so the thing about this book is it is not a difficult program to follow. You don't have a whole list of instructions to follow. There are these 7 do-over steps. And the thing that I really like about it is that anybody can do this. You give some great examples in the book, and I want to talk about those in a second. But the thing that you say is regardless of age, regardless of genes, regardless of current health, anyone can get to do it over. Anyone gets a do-over. And so you talk about how you can change our body functions. We can reverse certain diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure. So talk to us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, yeah, the key component is that what we learned and what we've really learned in the last 10 years of the science about the human genome is, instead of having 300,000 genes, which is the amount of DNA you have material for in each of your cells, you've only got about 26,000 genes. So you said, what is the other 274,000 amount of DNA we have? What is that doing? Well, most of it is switches, and it's switches that control our genes. So 90% of the rest of the DNA are switches, and you can turn your gene factories. All genes do is make proteins or watch other genes. So you can turn the protein factories up or down by your actions. And we know you get to control by your behaviors a lot of your gene function. So, for example, in managing your responses to events, in managing your responses that might be stressful responses, you change about 530 gene functions. That is, you can dial up or down those 530 genes that are related to inflammation. So you, by managing your gene functions, change the way, by managing your stress response, you change the way your genes respond to inflammation.
Right.
Now, to show you, Vicki, how almost everyone can do it, and I don't know whether you're going to tell me this example, but this is one of my favorites. This is the three women who were on the Oz show,
yes.
A mother, a grandmother, and a daughter. And the grandmother was in a wheelchair, all had diabetes, all had hypertension, all were overweight. The grandmother also had arthritis. And I said, how am I going to get someone to get a do-over if she's already in a wheelchair? And so we gave her a couple pedometers because we never wanted her to be without one, even if she lost it. And we said, how many do you walk to the bathroom? And she did. And I said, how many steps are you taking a day? All I want you to do for the next 3 days is tell me how many steps you take. And she averaged 64 steps a day. So I asked her to do me a favor, and this was a choice chance. And she said, I said, will you do me a favor of walking at least as many steps today, maybe more than you walked yesterday, but never do less today than you did yesterday? And she said, I'll do that. And so she started with a plan of walking 4 more steps a day. So the first day she walked 64 steps, the next day 68 steps, the next day 72 steps, and she kept adding. After 2 years, she got rid of her wheelchair and went to a walker, and after 3 more years, she got rid of the walker, and she got rid of all 3 of her diabetic medicines. She got rid of 2 of the 3 of her antihypertensive medicines. She got rid of her arthritis medicines, and she got rid of some other things. So she ended up getting rid of 9 of the 10 medicines, and virtually all of her arthritis is gone. And she's living without a wheelchair, without a walker now. So if she can do it, virtually anyone can do it.
Yeah, and that's what a great example that is, because if that doesn't motivate you to do your 10,000 steps is the goal, why 10,000 steps a day?
Well, this is a reason, because you break down insulin resistance. So insulin is the hormone that takes your glucose, your sugar, from your bloodstream and puts it in your cells. You don't want it in your bloodstream, because in your bloodstream, excess blood sugar does a couple of things. One is it damages your proteins, and 2, it ends up going to your fat cells and accumulating belly fat, which causes inflammation. The change in proteins causes them to dysfunction. We can go into that later. But basically, what walking does is it helps the insulin take your blood sugar from your bloodstream and put it into the cells where it's useful in producing energy. So 10,000 breaks down what we call insulin resistance. If you think of it as insulin is the FedEx truck that delivers sugar into your home or into your cell. So what the 10,000 does is it helps that FedEx truck navigate and get into deliver its sugar. when you have 8,000 steps a day, it doesn't break it down any place near as well as 10,000. 12,000 doesn't do any better than 10,000. So a step equivalent, either steps or other activities that get you to the equivalent of 10,000 steps a day, is the magic number at breaking that insulin resistance down and lowering your blood sugar so that you don't damage your proteins and you don't cause inflammation in your body.
Okay, and then one of the others is just following on from that, the five food felons. We're often taught, you know, never to think about a food as a felon or a bad thing, but you do name them, five food felons. So quickly, what should we avoid?
So simple sugars, added syrups, simple or stripped carbs, that is 900% whole grains, saturated fat and trans fat, all of those either raise your blood sugar or cause insulin resistance or cause inflammation in you, which decreases your ability to fight infections and cancer. It impairs your immune system and makes your arteries older, impairing your brain function, impairing your sexual function, impairing your heart function and increasing kidney failure.
Okay, great. So in this isn't a diet book. It's not just about food. I mean, you talk about managing stress. You talk about vitamins in there. And I want to touch on that because it's always such a controversial subject. You know, we hear, yes, you must have one. No, you don't need one. You say what?
Well, 90% of us, if you look at the NEHANES data, National Health and Nutrition Survey data, 90% of Americans get less than 80% of the essential vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. Even 80% were below 90% of us. And that's for preventing deficiency disease. If you look at what's optimal for health, take vitamin D. So 80% of us get less than 16.7 on a level of vitamin D. And if you say our optimal is over 35, we know you prevent breast cancer and colon cancer at levels between 35 and 40 on the nanogram per deciliter scale. Anyway, just forgetting the scale, 35 to 40 is where you want, at least, maybe 50 to 80, but at least 35. 99.9% of us who don't take a supplement are below that level. So that's why we say that there is every reason. Hey, let me give you two more examples. With a multivitamin, if you gave it to everyone between 12 and 50, every woman between 12 and 50, since 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, you want a multivitamin, a prenatal with DHA, at least 3 months before you get pregnant, because that decreases autism and autism spectrum disorders by 30 to 40%. It decreases congenital defects by 80 to 85% and decreases childhood cancers up to age 6 by 65%. So there's every reason to take, if you're a woman between 12 and 50, to take a prenatal with DHA. If you're over 50 in a male, you decrease non-prostate cancers by 20%. Well, there's nothing, if you knew if we had any other pharmaceutical agent that if you took when you were 75 and you decreased your risk of cancer by 20%, you know that everyone would be advocating for it. I don't know why people aren't. And the people in the study, the 20% reduction was on people who had, quote, normal nutrition levels before they started taking the multivitamin. So there are five supplements we think everyone should take. Virtually everyone over the age of 35 for men, 45 for women, and we go through the rationale of why you should do it. So we've gone over half of a multi morning and night for virtually everyone. Extra vitamin D because you don't get enough in your multi. Extra calcium and magnesium, but not too much. 600 milligrams of calcium is all you want in a supplement, plus 400 milligrams of magnesium, because it's not in most multivitamin and supplement preparations. You also want consider taking two baby aspirin a day. There's some people who shouldn't. That's why I consider and talk to your doctor about it. But for men over 35, women over 45, it decreases 9 cancers by 30% to 40%, as well as decreases stroke in women and heart recurrent heart attacks in men. So
Wow. There
are a whole bunch of things you should consider that we go through the rationale. But the basic rationale is that we are not getting enough from our food, and these things are insurance policy against an imperfect diet, and almost all of us have imperfect diets.
Right, and it's pretty significant numbers there. We only have a minute left because I could talk to you for all day, but I know I have to let you go. Another do-over, prescribe yourself passion. I love that one. And let's just 30 seconds talk about this. Let's get it on.
Right. So, sexual function is a matter of blood flow. It's the same as whether it flows to your muscle or your sexual organs, lubricates women, gaps with erection in men. It's about cutting down on things that disturb blood flow. So blocking inflammation, learning how to prevent inflammation and how to treat it if you have it, are some of the easy things to do. So those 5 foods, managing stress, are all keys. And so is, in fact, just flossing your teeth is one of the, periodontal disease is one of the largest causes of inflammation. So there are a lot of things you can do that are easy and it don't take much time and will help you live and have less disability and more enjoyment as you get older.
Well, Dr. Roizen, I thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate your time. The book is called This Is Your Do-Over, The 7 Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Vicky.
And it was such a pleasure to talk with Dr. Roizen. He's so passionate about his work. And I'm going to share just a couple more things. When we come back from the break, we'll take a very quick break. So please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. From the Emerald Hills of Ireland, award-winning fiction author Hazel Gaynor joins us for A Memory of Violets. We'll then travel to Paris with New York Times bestselling novelist MJ Rose for a glimpse into The Witch of Painted Sorrows. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And be sure and tune in every Monday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. There's only one Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. And yes, we are going to talk a minute about passion here. You just heard my conversation with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the enforcer behind the Dr. Oz Show. He's the chief wellness consultant. He's also the chief wellness officer at Cleveland Clinic. And this is a great book. This is really a great book. It's called This Is Your Do-Over, The 7 Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. And one of the things I really liked, because I'm one of those people who likes to understand why I'm doing something, you know, how's it going to affect the body, et cetera, et cetera. And his first chapter in here is what he calls a mini medical school, your biological cheat sheet. And it's full of pictures, just like you see on the Dr. Oz show, how he explains everything so well in layman terms. Dr. Michael Roizen has done the same in the book here. So it's full of pictures. It shows you exactly what inflammation is, for example. It shows you how cells invade. It shows you all kinds of things, how you can change the function of your genes. So it's a very interesting read, and it's very easy to read. And I do want to give a shout out to the writer, of course, who worked with Dr. Michael Roizen on this book. And he's Ted Spiker, and he's the chair of the Department of Journalism at the University of Florida and magazine writer. He was also the co-author of You, which, of course, was a number one New York Times bestseller with Dr. Roizen and Dr. Oz. So I want to talk a little about passion, because there's a whole chapter dedicated in the book to passion. It's one of the seven steps. And this is something that, you know, I'm always very conscious of. I feel that I'd kind of lost passion for certain things over the last couple of years, which, you know, can happen when life beats down on you a little bit. But it's important to have it, because it's the one of those things that propels you forward. I want to ask Eric if you, I think I know what your passion is going to be, but what is it?
Well, I really enjoy playing music, so I think that's one of my passions. I enjoy radio and broadcasting and all kinds of entertainment. So I think that those are among my passions.
Well, good, good. I'm glad you added radio in there, because one of the things he talks about is the importance of having passion at work.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's been doing this forever, and as we heard in the interview, he knew at the age of 9 he wanted to be a doctor. And he talks,
wow.
He talks about the difference between obsession
now,
and
a lot of kids
passion.
Play doctor, but he stuck with it. It wasn't just the
I didn't ask him that question. but he talks about the difference between passion and obsession. And he shares a story in the book here I'm just going to share. He says, I love deepening my understanding of prevention, reversing aging and wellness so much that I take my medical literature to Cleveland Cavaliers basketball games to read during timeouts, to the point where my friends ask me if I'm crazy. I say, no, I love it. I just love reading about medicine. And he says, you too may think I'm loonier than a tail-chasing kitty, but sorry, I get excited by jibber-jabber on how eliminating red meat cultivates bacteria inside you to prevent inflammation, etc. And then his second passion is squash. And so it's important for us to cultivate those passions. And I'm wondering, Eric, if there's a time in your life where you feel you've lost your passion.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times that I mean, I feel like I've got multiple passions. So I go in and out occasionally of being kind of like fed up with music, or fed up with, I don't know, if you ever have a super stressful week at work, you think, well, I don't know about this anymore.
Right.
But then, you know, if you're like me, if you got to get a little space on it, maybe it's just a weekend where you're not thinking about it, then it bubbles back up and you feel that passion again.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly natural for us to ebb and wane on that, depending on what's going on, because sometimes other things take precedence in our lives. But, you know, we don't want to go too long without it, is what he's saying. And I'm going to share a couple of tips here, because he recognizes that when people's health is not good, and he shared the story of the lady who could barely even walk to the bathroom at one point, it's very hard to be motivated and go, oh yeah, I'm going to walk 10,000 steps one day.
Right.
But so he gives, you know, he understands that depression can set in because you're not mobile and stuff, but it's that, you know, circle thing, that the more you move, the better you feel, and et cetera. And then that makes you want to move even more. But he says, if you're having trouble getting going, use these four steps to see if you can kickstart some of that optimism. And of course, the first is a daily walk of 30 to 60 minutes, aiming to lead up to that 10,000 steps every day. Now, if people are listening and thinking, well, what does 10,000 steps look like? Mm. I've been clocking this myself because I do walk a lot with my dog. Where did I put my note?
Yeah, I was just going to say an easy way to do that because that seems daunting. You know, it's a 30 to 40 minute walk a day. But those of us with dogs know that it can be pretty easy to get in a walk like that.
And the, right.
If you've got a dog, they motivate you
they do.
To go on those
they
walks.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when you don't want to, they want to.
Exactly.
But I walk, I clocked my time and my average steps in a 20-minute walk were 2,400. So, and then for an hour, that would go up to, I think it was about 6,000. But so you can get it. It depends how fast you walk. And, mm-hmm. and I certainly wasn't busting my lungs doing that. I was quite comfortable. And then the other thing, of course, I have an office at the back of my studio. I have an office at the front. And I didn't realize until I was wearing my pedometer and going backwards and forwards how many steps I was doing backwards and forwards. So I thought that was a good move, splitting those offices up.
Absolutely. I walk a lot within the office here. I'm just always running around all day, and I think that helps.
Yeah. So it you might be surprised. It might sound daunting at first, but it you know, if a lady who couldn't walk to the bathroom eventually did it, then, I mean, he's got some great anecdotes, some great stories in this book, and science to back it up. It's not just anecdotal. So the first one, of course, is walk 30 to 60 minutes, you know, and it can be split up throughout the course of the day. The second one to kickstart some of the optimism is do something special, big or small, for a friend or family member once a week, because that positive feedback gets you looking forward to next week's interaction. It does make you feel good. If you've made somebody else feel good, it makes you feel good, right? And the third is to practice mindful meditation for 15 minutes a day. And this is something we've talked about on the show a lot. And gosh, it's got me through so many situations because I'm not even conscious I do it. But if I have a big presentation or something, I have a quiet drive myself up to wherever I'm going. Or there are many, many ways you can meditate. So we all have time to fit that in. Do you meditate, Eric?
I don't.
You walk the
dog,
though.
Maybe I should give it a try. Yeah. Yeah, I find that when I'm taking a walk, whether it be, you know, just walking the dog or just by myself or whatever, I'm able to clear my head and think about things. That's often when I'm most creative, too.
Yeah.
So when there's not the distractions of, you know, the cell phone or the TV or whatever. So I don't know if that qualifies as meditating technically.
I think it does, personally. But
it's at least meditative.
I call it a walking meditation, and I've heard people say it's not as effective. But I think whatever works for you, we are all different.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever works for you. But I find it very beneficial. And I call it my clearing my head time, my meditation time. The other, of course, is to volunteer at a community center or charity and focus on helping make the world a better place. And, you know, you can often find your passion by volunteering. I've done that over the years when I've moved to new places. I've volunteered, you know, wherever to help out just so I get to meet people. And then you find a new interest or a new passion. And so it's all about getting up and moving away from the couch, from the TV, from the daily routine. And I would recommend this book. I think it's really beneficial and full of good science, full of good stories that help you show it can be done in the everyday world, because let's face it, that's where we live. All right. The book again is This Is Your Do-Over, The 7 Secrets to Losing Weight, Living Longer, and Getting a Second Chance at the Life You Want. And it's by Dr. Michael Roizen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by our second guest today, Alan Roth.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen and Nels Healing Ministry, we cover the world of animals. This week, April 5th, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll find out how Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary Incarnation is doing after the theft of 50 birds last month. Plus, we'll pick up where we left off with Aline Fortgang from Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants and find out the status of Bamboo and Chai. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. From the Emerald Hills of Ireland, award-winning fiction author Hazel Gaynor joins us for A Memory of Violets. We'll then travel to Paris with New York Times bestselling novelist MJ Rose for a glimpse into The Witch of Painted Sorrows. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And be sure and tune in every Monday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we just spent a couple of minutes talking about passion, which is one of the seven secrets to losing weight, living longer, and getting a second chance at the life you want. This is your do-over, Dr. Michael Roizen. And so we're going to continue that by talking with somebody who definitely has had a passion, and I'm guessing there's more to come along this line. But let me introduce my guest first of all. She is Ellen A. Roth. She holds a PhD from the University of Pittsburgh and an MFA from Syracuse University. She spent the early years of her career as a registered art therapist, working with children and a variety of special needs. She then became the co-founder of premier relocation consulting firm, Getting to the Point, Inc. And Ellen Roth was named one of the best 50 women in business in Pennsylvania, which is where she is joining us from today. Ellen Roth, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be connecting with Seattle fans.
Yes, and your book is called 10 Fingers Touching, and we'll talk about this in just a second. But first, I want to wish you a public happy birthday. You just shared it's your birthday today.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you spending some of it with us anyway. So I want to talk. This is such a lovely book, and I said at the top of the hour, you know, who doesn't want a little escapism these days? And I was sharing in the break, when I read novels, I don't want heavy duty stuff that's going to depress me. I want some escapism. And so you, as a child, I read, just loved to dream and fantasize, and you loved fairy tales. And what you've done here is basically create a fairy tale for grown-ups. So tell us a little bit about the book and how it began for you.
Well, you've described, that's a wonderful introduction. And my book It's a love story between the master of the forest and a beautiful and intelligent maiden. And it's about the relationship of these two soulmates set against the backdrop of the epic battle between good and evil, and how these two lovers are drawn into the conflict. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to write a multi-layered romantic escape where grown-ups could lose themselves in an imaginary place with the same pleasure that they derived from reading fairy tales in their youth. And then if you look at the beginning of the book, you see that I dedicated it to the youth in every woman because I wanted to take a woman back to that special time in her life where she experienced her first loving relationship.
So there's a lot of this is a controversial subject because there's a lot of people today who say that, you know, people did us no favors by reading Cinderella to us and Snow White to us and us thinking that we were going to fall in love with the prince and everything was going to be happily ever after. And I'm sure you get asked that question a lot, but how do you respond to that?
Well, it, you know, maybe there is a conflict. But I look at it from this perspective. We live in a world that is filled with so many harsh realities. Think about it. There's war, terrorism, cyber terrorism, hunger, poverty, disease, environmental problems. And because of technology and social media, we are surrounded and confronted with these evils on a daily basis. We hope they will be conquered, but we can't be sure of the outcome. So in contrast, a fairy tale sweeps you out of the present and transports you into a magical world. And in this land of fantasy and imagination, you can be pretty certain that good will triumph over evil. And I believe that we all want to believe in happy endings, and we all want happy lives.
Right. And I think particularly in the American culture, when you go to movies and stuff, the audiences prefer happy endings. I know in Europe, they'll often end miserably. but there's something to be said for that happy ending there, because as you said, you know, life can be difficult. And as you know, I shared, I like to myself when I'm reading a novel, I want to escape from the real world.
And that gives you hope. That happy ending gives you hope.
Right. And so there's a lot of new shows on TV, a lot of movies out. I mean, there was Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. We've had a lot come out from Tim Burton. TV, I don't know, it's Grimm's Fairy Tales, the Grimm, the show, Once Upon a Time. What do you think, why do you think they're more popular, fairy tales are more popular than ever? And it's probably got something to do with what you just talked about.
Well, in addition to all those TV shows you mentioned, we've just had the debut of Cinderella, the movie Into the Woods, Maleficent. My understanding is they're now going to redo Beauty and the Beast. And so, you know, why are these fairy tales so popular? And I think, you know, the answer I just gave is because they give us hope and they inspire us to believe in happy endings and happy lives. However, I think there's even more to it than that. That an enduring fairy tale should leave you with thoughts that linger beyond the story.
Right.
It's not just a fantasy. It can leave you with much deeper and more profound thoughts. So in the case of my book, I hope that the reader will continue to think about the interaction of love and fate, or the true nature of good and evil, or one of the central themes of my book is, do you think that true love is the most powerful weapon of all? Mm. So there's a lot to think about beyond the story.
Right, right. And I know that a lot of books that I read as a child, there was some kind of moral in them. If you read a fable, there's some kind of moral in there. There's some kind of teaching and learning opportunity in there without them bashing you over the head with it. So so let's talk about your main characters, Mariana and Martek. You give very vivid descriptions of them. Share a little with our listeners about that, if you would, please.
Sure.
Help if I could speak today.
Yes. No, you're doing great. Martek is brave and strong and handsome, and he was raised in the forest by a guide, and he gains all of his skill set from having lived in the forest and having grown up with animals. And two of his special characteristics is that, one, he can communicate with animals, and two, he learns to fly by wings that have been fashioned by his guide, who was the man that raised him. So he has these very special qualities.
Right.
And Mariana, she is a beautiful and intelligent maiden. Her father was a retired school teacher, and he taught her everything that he knew. She learned to read and write, and she learned about mathematics and astronomy and music, flora and fauna. And when the court learned of that there was such an intelligent young woman in the village, she was brought to the court to be the governess to the princess, who is a very lovable, but at the same time, a very mischievous and impetuous little girl.
And so they live in a fantasy land. So as a writer, that's a lot of work. You've not only got to create your characters, you've also got to create the land they live in. Tell me how you went about that, Ellen.
Well, setting is very important. And
it's another character.
Excuse me?
It's really another character.
Oh, yes. And you certainly don't want your story to take place in every scene in the same setting. So we have all different environments within the kingdom. And then you want to see how your character will respond when they move from land. And then Martek eventually captains a ship, and he has to learn a whole new skill set because he's been raised in a forest. And initially, when he's asked to go to sea, he protests, but that's overcome, and he eventually captains the ship, which is part of the mystery and adventure of the story. So the setting, each setting, it's just very important. When I write, interestingly, I see things. I think most people write words that create images. I actually see the images, and then I write what I see. So I can see the forest, I can see the ship, I can see the interior of the castle. I see all these things, and then I find the words to describe them.
Right. That's kind of how I work, too.
Oh.
I work on different things, but same principle. Yeah, interesting. So how long did it take you to write this? Because I know this was a true labor of love for you. You're running a successful business at the same time. You've got kids and a husband to take care of. How did you get time to write this?
The seeds of this story were planted long ago. I've been thinking about this story for many, many years, but I never really had the time to write the story that I wanted to tell. So about 2 years ago, I restructured my company to carve out more personal time for myself. So I still have my company. It still operates, but on a smaller scale, so that I could take the time to have an immersion into writing this story that has been growing over many years. And I think that's really important as a writer. And now I understand why people go to Cape Cod to write the great American novel.
Right. Right.
You need to immerse yourself. And so between restructuring my company to carve out more time and the fact that I'm nocturnal and I can write while the rest of the world is asleep, enabled me to bring this story to fruition.
And so it's beautifully illustrated, which, of course, you know, we want in a fairy tale book. I don't know if listeners can see the image, but I'm just going to hold one up here for them to look at on the camera here. And then here's another one here. I mean, we've got pictures. We've got escapism. What more could we want? How did you get to work with your illustrators? I know that this was traditionally published, so I'm assuming the publisher had a lot to say in who illustrated it for you.
From the very beginning, illustrations were important to me, and because I wanted to write a storybook for adults. So if it was a storybook, it just had to have pictures. But these pictures, as you can see, and I wish you could hold the book up to your microphone and have your whole audience see it, but the illustrations are very beautiful. They're like paintings. And the way this came about is I went to the Pittsburgh Society of Illustrators, and now I have to say to all of you Seahawks fans, do not hold that against me. But I did go there, and I clicked on all of the different artwork, and I saw, you see, cartoonists and people that do horror and people that do mechanical drawings, and then I found this man who did castles and dragons and princesses, and I just said, this is my guy. And I called him, and we met, and we just started to collaborate, and it was a wonderful collaboration.
Yeah, and it's it just works really well. And you can, you know, sometimes I've seen books where the illustrations don't necessarily, I feel, go so much with the story, but this works really well. So how long did it take you to put this together?
Once I started working with John and my editor, I would say a year and a half. A year and a half of working with the editor and with John. But let me just tell you a little bit more about this collaborative process, because you said, oh, the illustrations work so well with the story. Well, John would do an illustration, and then we would both talk about it, and then he would tweak it to conform to my vision of what I thought things should look like in the story. However, there were two instances where his drawings were so spectacular that I tweaked the text to conform to the drawing.
Well, that's true collaboration for you.
So when you say, "Gee, the drawings are so integrated with the text," that was no accident.
Yeah, that's true collaboration, though. So, as a writer, what is your process like when you were doing this? You said you immersed yourself in it, which I think is a great idea if you have the opportunity to do that. But what's the process like for you? You visualize and then the words come, but do you go through like a formal structure, an outline, or do you just, as those pictures come to you, you write to them and you see what happens as you go along?
Well, I did not have an outline for this story, and so, but if I were to do a sequel, I would have an outline. This story went through so many rewrites, and it actually began originally with chapter 13, where these two lovers are looking at the moon, and the hero is about to go on a voyage, and they're saying goodbye to each other, and he's pointing out to her that they'll always stay connected through the moon, because in all the world, there's just one moon. And I had this idea that if two people looked at the moon at the same time, wherever they were in the world, they could communicate with one another.
Ugh.
And that was originally chapter one. However, in all of the rewriting, it occurred to me, because I wanted to see this made into a movie, that I had to set the stage for the movie. And so now chapter one starts out with the battle between good and evil, because of what's going on between good and evil, that's how the lovers get drawn into the conflict, and I thought we needed that baseline.
That's awesome, and you just made me teary sharing that story of the moon, because when I moved so far away from my family, my dad said to me, if you ever get homesick, just look up at the moon. I'm just the other side. The other side. That's awesome. Well, please share your website with our listeners, Ellen.
My website is Ellen Roth, ellenrothauthor.com, and it's Ellen, and Roth is R-O-T-H, ellenrothauthor.com. And you can get more information about the book and how to order it and more about myself and the illustrator.
Okay.
You can read our blog.
Great. Thank you so much. And the book, again, is called 10 Fingers Touching. Ellen A. Roth is my guest and the author. And the book was illustrated by John Blumen. Great collaboration there, it shows. Thanks so much for being with us today, Ellen.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. And we will be back next week with an all-life news show. If you have any questions or comments on today's show, if you missed any section of it, you can give me a call at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. You can also reach me via email at info@conversationslive.net. Conversations is plural. And you can find me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair and on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And of course, you can find, you'll be able to listen to the podcast again tomorrow if you wish at conversationslive.net. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.